Good morning again. Good to see you here this morning. I hope and pray that God has prepared you for this message. I'm really not going to say a whole lot different today. John's going to be talking about the awesome love of God. He's just doing it in different ways. We're not going to stop. I don't think we should stop talking about God's love and loving one another until we start doing it. He said, well, I do love everybody. But this is the challenge. The challenge that John gives us and God presents us is that, are we really loving one another? And so we'll be in 1 John, the 4th chapter, verses 7 through 11. And I won't lie to you, I've been looking forward to this particular passage. And that's not 1 through 6. It says, beloved, may we all be loving one another, because love is from God, and everyone who is loving, he hath been born and continues to be born from of God, and he is coming to know God. He who is not loving, he did not come to know God, because God is love. I want you to notice the very first thing he says, beloved. May you all be loving one another. Literally, he's saying, those who are loved by God, let them love. If you are loved by God, he's saying, show that love to one another. We are not commanded to love one another to earn brownie points with God or to become worthy of God's love. I already have God's love, no matter what I've done and what I do and what I will do. And the same is for you. And you may be here lost in the goose. You don't know Jesus Christ, never accepted him into your heart, your life. And he still loves you in that way. He loves you just as much as he loves me. So it's not about me loving him more so that I can get closer to him. We are to love one another because we are loved by God. That's the reason why we're to love one another. And here it shows why it's important. If love is of God, then those who claim to be born of God and claim to know God must be able to love one another in the body of Christ. It is a natural thing to do with the God nature that he has put in us at the moment of salvation. We will want to love one another. And that shows that we've been saved, and it shows that we are in fellowship with God. I want you to, in the society today, there has been a distinction made between those fanatics who are born-again Christians and just Christians. There's a lot of folks that say, well, I'm not one of those born-again Christians, I'm just a Christian. But I'm not one of those people. Do you realize that you cannot be called Christian until you've been born again? That's part of it. I don't know how that came to be. Our destination has not changed. Oh, our destination has changed. I'm sorry. It has changed, but it hasn't changed. But that's not the only thing that happened to you. What happened to me when I was saved wasn't just that I was going to hell and now I'm going to heaven. Although that's a good part of it. It's not that I was just forgiven. I was. But the great part about this is I was born into his family. We're born again into His family. I'm changed on the inside. I'm a new person. I'm part of a new family. I was no longer of this world. I am of God. The word know, you find in the Greek, is a very specific. There's a couple of words for know. One is a knowing, like you just know something. You know it. You don't have to learn it. You just know it. And then the other word is, the word is used here, genosko. It means knowledge by experience. Can you go back to the first passage there? I can show. He says, he is coming to know God. It's not that he knew him, but he has to learn to know God. John is saying this. When we really experience God, it will show by our love for one another. You can't truly experience growth and draw closer to God without loving one another. That's the sign. That's how you know. John can boldly say this then. He who does not love does not know God. And if there isn't any real love for God's people in your life, if you think that all Christians, if you just don't like Christians, you are one, but I don't like them. And you have disdain in your heart for your brothers and sisters in Christ, then you claim to know God, and you claim to be in fellowship with God, God says it is that kind of love is not true. And maybe, just maybe, you don't have never experienced God's love in your life. You see, there's an agape love. It's a God kind of love. It's a love that says, I don't care what you do to me, I'm going to continue loving you. Doesn't matter. And since this is God's kind of love, it comes into our life through relationship with Him. Those who are, if we want to love one another more, we need to draw closer to Him. So how does this work? Picture a triangle. Okay? God's at the top point of the triangle. Here you are at the bottom left-hand corner, and someone else is on the bottom right-hand corner. And you're both traveling towards God. And you're trying to make it to the top, trying to get closer to God. Do you know what you're also doing? You're getting closer to each other. That's the way that works. As we draw closer to God, we will naturally draw closer to others. And we will begin to love them more. Now listen. You say, Brother Andy, there are a lot of people who love out there. And yes, they do. Some actually love in an agape way. A self-sacrificing way. And it doesn't mean that every display of love in the world can only come for a Christian. Those who are not Christians can still display that kind of love. Remember, God created us in His image. He gave us, embedded in us, the capacity to love. And so there is some love found in the world among the lost, and not even some of the worst people in the world have shown examples of some love. I want you to notice something. We got lights here, but we got some lights around the sides. You got some work to do there. The lights here, these floodlights here. And it's pretty good. It brightens up the place. It'd be better if they weren't happy. It'd be better than them being out. And that's, we can call that light. And I'm so glad it's a nice, bright, sunny day outside. When you go outside and you walk outside, does it even compare to the brightness the sun provides? I mean, there's light. And then there's light. And the same with us, with love. There's love. And then there's God's love. And the difference is striking. And only Christians can provide that kind of love because it's from God. For God is love. Whoa, powerful statement. God is love. But you know you can't turn that around. God is love. But you know what? Love is not God. Because it does, the thing about God is that that's an aspect of God. That is a personality, is a characteristic of God, but it's not all of who God is. God is love, but love is not the only thing God is. When we say God is love, we're not saying everything about God that's necessary. You see, love is an essential aspect of His character and colors every aspect of His nature. It does not eliminate, love does not eliminate His holiness, His righteousness, or His perfect justice. But instead, what we find is that in His character and everything that He does, He's going to show love. And every aspect of His nature, His righteousness, it'll be a loving righteousness. And His justice will be a loving, perfect justice. Everything God does in one way or another expresses His love. In the next verse, we see how He revealed His love to us. In this, the love of God was revealed in us. Because God had sent and continues to send His one and only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is the love. Not that we have loved and continue to love God, but that He loved us and He sent His Son in atoning sacrifice for our sins. Love is not only defined by the sacrifice of Jesus. It is defined by the giving of the Father. We think so many times that God is the mean old grouch in the Old Testament who threw thunderbolts down because He was mad. And Jesus Christ came to try to pacify Him, to try to calm Him down. No, God and Jesus are the same. But God is the one that loved us so much to send His only begotten Son. He's the one that loved us. It was a sacrifice for the Father to send the second person of the Trinity and a sacrifice to pour out the judgment we deserved upon the God, the Son. I want you to think about something. You say, well, Jesus is the one that suffered, so His love was greater than... Really? Right now, if one of my kids was faced with a prospect or... If I had to make a decision to sacrifice someone, my kids or me, do you know who it would be? It'd be me. Without a heartbeat. But only one of His kids, my kids, could actually make that sacrifice and make it work. I couldn't bodily go down and do what Jesus did. The Spirit couldn't go down and do what Jesus did. And so God had to make the decision. He had to love us so much that He would sacrifice His own Son. I would have taken the easy way out. And I would have said, take me. Let me die. But no. He loved the world so much that He sent His Son to die. John's careful to call Jesus the only begotten Son, the one and only Son. And this means that Jesus has a sonship that is unique and begotten. It indicates that Jesus and the Father are the same substance, the essential same being. When you create something, I create a little statue of myself, but that doesn't become me, does it? It's just a replica. But when you beget something, and I've got three of them running around right now, when you beget it, they're part of you. And they even look like me. Don't tell them I said that, but they even look like me. Poor guys. But they're part of me. They're not statues. They have their own individualism. But I beget them. And that's exactly what God has done. Begotten. They're the same. God and Jesus the same. God the Father loved us enough to send His Son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. On the cross, Jesus took the punishment of our sins, which was death. His sacrifice turned away the judgment we would have received. It was all for us. Each one of us deserved the death penalty for the sins that we've committed. Jesus didn't deserve it, but He took our place. His sacrifice turned away the judgment we would have received. We easily think how this shows the love of Jesus, but John wants us to understand it shows the love of God our Father. An atoning sacrifice has the idea of a sacrifice that turns away the wrath of God. God rightly regarded us apart from Him as worthy targets of His judgment. We were rebels and enemies of Him, and even if we didn't know it, you think we're something special that God just picked us out because we were the best and the brightest? No. He loves us more than someone else because we come to church and we clean up nice and we do all the things. You know, we're good people. No, He didn't love us any more than that. That we might live through Him. The greatness of God's love is shown not only in saving us from judgment we deserved, but also wanting us to live through Him. You see, it's more than just being born again. It's more than just, you know, living a good life. He wants us to live through Him. And the question that you have to ask, do we live through Him? What does that mean? Well, it's a great way to define the Christian life. Everything that we live in this life is filtered through the lens of Jesus, through God, instead of the world. He sent His Son to die for us sinners. I want you to understand something. He sent His Son to die for sinners. And that means you and me. Sometimes we think, let me just give you a little analogy here. How many people would you take a bullet for? You know, you've been shot, and you see president or congressman or senator or celebrity, and you say their lives are important, mine's not, and you'll step in their place. Maybe you would. You'd consider it. Oh, the world can't do without this poor star. But they can do without me. But what if on the other end, and you see someone pointing a gun at a homeless person under a bridge down in downtown Little Rock? And his life really isn't worth that much. Right? Would you step in front of that bullet for him? Or would you say, it's not worth it. Now I want you to picture what God had to look at. Here was humanity who is constantly rejecting Him, constantly breaking His commandments, constantly just totally unbelieving and unrepentant. And yet He sent His Son to die for us. For sinners. But God did all this for rebels, for sinners. who had turned their backs on him. Real love, the agape kind of love, is not defined by our love for God, but his love for us. You know, our love for God really doesn't say a whole lot. We'd be stupid not to love God for all that he's done, right? I mean, many people don't, but it makes sense to love God. It is only common sense to know and receive the love of God. I wish that I could adequately find the words to help you understand the awesomeness of God's love. I run out of words. I wish I could make you see just how much God loves us. How much he loves you. You know, it is much easier for me to get you to see your sin and your guilt than it is for you to see God's love. You say, I don't know about that. Try something here real quick. How many of y'all read your Bible enough this week, this past week? Did you read your Bible enough? How many of y'all might have said something you shouldn't this week? Don't raise your hand. I'm not confession. how many of y'all let somebody was able to talk to somebody about God this week? Yeah, I can make you feel guilty, can I? It's easy to do that because we deal with something that we deal with every day. But it's much harder for me to talk to you about how much God loves you. Maybe it's pride. Maybe you're saying, I don't need any help from anyone. Maybe you say, well, God can't possibly love me. I mean, not the way I am, he can't love me. I'll try to get myself straight so maybe I can understand. And maybe you just don't understand God's love. Maybe you connect your doing things to his love. You can't change his love for you. No matter what you do. You know, there are times when in our lives when it feels like the walls are caving in and everything's falling apart and you say, why has God deserted me? Why doesn't God love me anymore? Because we equate love with us doing good and then we love somebody and somebody does bad, we hate them. And when we do bad, we just assume God hates us. But God doesn't hate us. He loves us despite all of this. Why is this so hard to understand? Maybe it's because we don't feel worthy of his love. But somehow we must understand that he loves every person. That no sinner is beyond the amazing love of God. No one. No one that has ever been born is beyond that. And this morning, I want you to see and to know that God truly loves you. And when you understand that, then you will be able to start loving others. Which brings us to our last point. Beloved, if God so loved us, so we ought to love one another. This is the return of God's love. This is how we react to God loving us. So having received this love from God, we are directed to love one another. We'll go back to a story in John chapter 13. You find where the apostles and disciples were gathered. their meal. And they all came in. And typically what would happen is that the least among them would wash everybody's feet. Now, this is important. You might think that's gross, but I want you to understand the setting. They're around a small table with that. They got a small table. They didn't have chairs, and they ate lying down. As a matter of fact, most of the time they ate like this on their side with their feet coming this way. Now, I want you to imagine 12 of those folks all around the table where their feet ended up. It was kind of important to wash their feet. Yeah, it kind of destroys the ambiance, doesn't it, of the meal. So it's important. But nobody washed anybody's feet. And then Jesus decided, he gets up and he gets a basin and he gets a rag, you know, and he begins to wash everyone's feet. And if you were the disciples, what would you think? Oh my goodness, we're going to have to wash his feet. We forgot. I didn't mean to. You know, there's all kinds of, they do their trouble because here, the one who spoke the world into existence, their friend, their Savior, he was washing their feet. I know if I was Jesus, man, would the New Testament be different if I was Jesus? But if I was Jesus, what I would be thinking, you sorry suckers. Here I am, you're making me do this. And there he says, I'm going to make them wash my feet. That's the way I would have looked at it. But I want you to notice what he says to them. Instead of them, him wanting them to wash his feet, look what he says in John 13:14. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. It's not, wasn't about his feet, but wash one another's feet. The proper way to love God in response to his love for you is to go out and to love one another. You say you love God, you show it by loving someone else. And when you do this, this means some practical action. Has anybody offended you? Seek reconciliation. Make it right. Forgive where you have to forgive. Ask for forgiveness where you need to ask. Love that person enough to make it right between you. Oh, but Brother Andy, you just don't know what so-and-so did to me. That's all right. You don't know what you did to God. And yet he still forgave you. He still loved you enough to forgive you. Oh, but you don't know, I've been insulted. Okay, so was God. You've insulted God in your life by the way you talked, the way you acted, and the way you rejected him at times. But yet God loved you enough to forgive you and continues to love you. Oh, but you don't know that person. That person is so unworthy. I mean, he's really bad. So were you. And God still loved you enough to send his own son to die. If we do not love one another, how can we say we receive the love of God and then more of him? That's what he's talking about. Love is the proof that we are taught to look for. Love is what draws us together and closer to God. Too often, when
somebody's going through a crisis or a problem in life. Well, you just need to love God more. Really? I think we need to trust God by loving others more. That'll lead us to God, getting closer to God. God's always going to love you. In the same way He loved you before you come to know Him as Savior, He'll love you the same after. It's an all-out, full-fledged love, and He's given everything that He's had to us. And that never changes. But that cannot be said for the way we love one another. There is something that changes when you allow Christ to come into your heart and your life. You take on part of the personality of your family, of your new family, being born of God. If you're a child of God today, you should be loving one another more. Not loving God more, but loving one another more. It is by which we know that we are His. We know that we are in fellowship with God by the way that we love one another. Ladies and gentlemen, I do not know if this message is still touching your heart or not. I hope and pray it does, because it's blowing my me up. If you're here today and you've never experienced the love of God, it's my prayer that you'll hope, that you'll want that love that God can put in your heart. And you can do that because I believe that the gospel has been presented today about what Jesus Christ did for us at the cross of Calvary, how He made an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And I believe that you, the Spirit of God, is probably dealing with your heart right now if you've never accepted Him as Savior. Right now there's something inside saying, I got to make a change. I want that kind of love in my life. I want to experience the uncompromising love that God has given. This amazing thing. If you are in that position today, the Spirit of God is dealing with your heart, is my prayer. I know you will never, ever, ever regret asking Jesus into your heart and your life. You'll never regret experiencing the kind of love that only He can give. You need to make that decision today. Say yes to Him. And for those of us who make professions of faith, rightly or wrongly, have you experienced His love? Has He changed you from the inside out? Are we more inclined to love on someone or to hate them? I can't answer these questions for you because that's between you and God. But will you examine your own heart and life today? And if you're a truly saved child of God and you haven't been loving the way that He wants us to love one another, then shame on us. And if you're here today and you've never experienced the love of God in your heart, but you've have said a couple of words and you've been baptized, then you need to make that decision today to truly experience His love. And so as we prepare for an invitation, let's all stand. Let's examine our hearts and our lives in the way that we are loving people. And if we fall short, let's remember the way God has loved us. And that as we continue to love God, we'll draw closer to others and begin to love one another. It's imperative. Because the love of God, the love that shows from our hearts and our lives, is the thing that draws people towards Christ. And we are walking, breathing, living representatives of Christ here. And they're looking at our lives and seeing if we love or not. It's my prayer. It's my prayer that we love one another. and do it in a practical way of forgiveness and reconciliation. So as we sing this morning, whatever God's laid on your heart, will you come?
Number 563. 563.